Hello once again. Welcome to our program. We're continuing today in our series in the book of John. Got to read this verse again. This is the reason that the book is written. These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life through his name. We're going to talk today about friends. Friends. I don't know that there's a subject that's any more interesting than that one. Jesus said in verse 13 of John 15, greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, in our previous program, we said this word life has been translated soul 58 times. And it's not really talking here about dying for our friends, which it may include, but actually it's talking about living them for them. The soul is the mind, the will, and the emotions. And so if we would have our mind, our will, and our emotions concerned about our friends more than concerned about ourselves, greater love is no man than this, than a man lay down his whole life. That's what Jesus did. He didn't just die on the cross, but all the time he was here on earth, he lived for his friends. That's great love. Now, he said, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Does that mean if someone's going to be my friend that they have to do what I command them? No, not at all. He said, henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. That's what a friend does. So we're going to look at this subject, friends. It's a very interesting subject. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 4, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. That word has been translated companion in Psalm 119. Lift up his companion or his friend, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him. I was thinking today about Peter, and we remember he cursed and swore, said he never knew Jesus. By the way, Peter didn't fail. Peter fell. We don't fail till we quit. But it says here, Peter remembered the word of Jesus and said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now, I was thinking about it today. Who was there for Peter? Did he have someone that could help him through this situation? There's nothing recorded in the Bible that he did except for one person. The angel said to the ladies who were at the tomb, men, where were they? They're all hiding for fear of the Jews. But these women went out there and he said, go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. So whoever our friends are, one thing we know for sure, Jesus was Peter's friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. But what about living in this world here? What about our friends? What about our companions? Psalm 119:63, psalmist said, I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. Fear, that's an interesting subject. We could take a couple of weeks just on that. But let's look at Psalm 33:8. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. Keep thy precepts. Now, the word means hold on to. It doesn't mean that we're going to not. The Bible says, he that says he's without sin deceives himself, truth not in him. It's a matter of what people are trying to do. With the help of God, I want to hold on to the precepts. So if that's the testimony of someone, I want him to be my friend. Precepts means a general rule intended to regulate thought and behavior. So Proverbs 13:20 says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. So we better be careful who our friends are. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the psalmist said, I am a companion of all them that fear the Lord. Now, sometimes we can learn more about choosing our friends about who not to choose rather than who we choose. Paul said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Well, does that mean that if I have learned a Pentecostal doctrine, if anybody says something different, I should mark them and avoid them? Does that mean if I have a Baptist doctrine or a Brethren doctrine? What does this mean? What it means is what Paul's been talking about. And if you study Romans 12, verse 1 through 15 to 33, you'll see what he was teaching them. And he said, if anybody causes division contrary to what we've been talking about from 12 to chapter 15, which ye have learned, he told those people, avoid them. So we should avoid those kind of people. That's pretty simple. 2 Thessalonians 3:15. Now, here's the other part of it, and sometimes I think we might miss this. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So the bottom line on choosing our friends is simply this. The Bible said, and Jesus said it in John 16:13, how be it when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. So in every situation, should this man, these people, should they be my friends? What we need to do is take the Word of God and the Holy Spirit are always in total harmony, and sincerely and honestly let the Holy Spirit lead us as to the person that we're considering or the group that we're considering, if they should be our friends, because we have a promise that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth, and so he'll guide us into the truth about who our friends should be. In 2 Thessalonians 3:14, if any man obey not our word by this epistle, what he's saying there, note that man and have no company with him, that he might be ashamed. Have no company. That's simple enough. But once again, 2 Thessalonians 3:15, yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish, that word means to warn him, as a brother. Titus 3:10 says, a man that is a heretic, after the first and second admonition, reject. Now, it's important to understand the only heretics that the New Testament talks about are Christians who are teaching a false doctrine. For example, 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, Thessalonian church, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. That word bought has been translated redeemed 3 times. He's talking about Christians bringing in false doctrine. And a man that is a heretic, he's going to do that after the first and second admonition, reject, because they bring upon themselves with destruction, and that word has been translated waste in 2 occasions. So sometimes we think this means going to hell or something. No, it's talking about a waste. If you're going to be friends with someone who is bringing in a damnable heresy, and by the way, anybody who promotes that you don't need to repent in order to be saved is bringing in a damnable heresy, because if you believe that, you're going to hell. Except a man repent, they shall all likewise perish. Jesus said that on 2 occasions. Within a minute, and the Bible says that all men everywhere should repent. So in our fundamental circles, we have people now who are promoting, Christians, who are promoting that you don't need to repent to get saved. That is a damnable heresy, and that person should not be your friend. How about 1 Timothy 6:3 through 5? If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, from such withdraw thyself. A lot of simple verses here about who shouldn't be our friends. 2 Timothy 3:5 talks about those having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, again, it's very important to understand this. The way to determine whether or not we should separate from someone or whether or not they should be our friend is to let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. Now, sometimes we don't like the truth, but the only safe way to determine who your friends are is to get in the Word of God, let the Word of God get in us, let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, that doesn't mean to say you're not going to say yes, please, and no, thank you. It means the manner in which we do things. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. We become like who we run with. Amos 3:3 puts it this way, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" Now, that's often quoted, "Can two walk together except they agree?" That's not what it says. It says, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" In other words, somebody has to change. So once again, can't overemphasize this. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth. And so the question is, why do we believe what we believe about the subject of friends, about separation, about who we fellowship with? Why do we believe what we believe? Have we been influenced by the friends in our circle? Or have we been led by the Holy Spirit? Because it's very plain in the Word of God, He will guide you into all truth. And so it boils down to whether or not we'll let the Holy Spirit have His way concerning our friends. Be sure and be with us for our next program.